Welcome to church this morning. I'm glad that you're here. My wife and I, we haven't missed a Sunday since we moved here in August. We've been here every Sunday, but I haven't preached every Sunday for the first month or so. Pastor Tomlinson and I were going back and forth, and then we had missions conference, and we've had a few guest speakers. But for the year of 2016, I had not missed a Sunday morning preaching until 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we combined the Spanish and the English. Brother Sammy preached that Sunday morning. And I didn't preach. And then last Sunday, I wasn't with you. I was on the property, but I was preaching to the Spanish during this hour. And I want to stay connected with the good people there in our church and that ministry. And was preaching over there. And I heard a great reports about Brother Scott preaching a message. It's all about Christ. And I'm thankful for him preaching in my place last week. But I'm glad to be back here. I've missed the last two Sunday mornings not having the privilege to preach to God's people here in our church. And I hope that this morning's message will be a help to you. I don't know about you, but I hate to wait. I don't like waiting at stoplights. I don't like sitting in traffic, and we have some of that down here in Southern California, don't we? I don't like waiting in line at the grocery store or waiting for a parking stall to open in the mall. And don't get me started if my flight is delayed for an hour or two. That really does a number on me. I'd imagine many of you are the same way. How many of you are like me? You'd agree that waiting is not one of your greatest strengths, that you don't like to wait, and we like things. We get frustrated, don't we, when a waiter takes a little too long to bring us our food? How dare you? I have to talk to this person I'm at dinner with. I mean, I wanted my food right now, you know? And when a doctor is 15 minutes late to see us for our appointment, or a UPS shipment is a day past when they had promised it would be there. And, you know, I thought Amazon Prime was great, two-day free shipping. Then that wasn't enough, so they offered 24-hour. Now they have Amazon Now or whatever that's called. And you can get something, literally order it online and have it to you within an hour or two on certain items. And I was at the grocery store the other day, and there was somebody there with Amazon shopping for someone. You know, you order your groceries online. We like to have things. We're an instant gratification society. Burger King famously used that marketing slogan, have it your way right away. We want you to give us our way or get out of our way, right? We don't want to wait for anything. You go to the grocery store, everything is prepackaged and prepared. I don't want to wait to make a salad. Give me my salad in a bag. I don't want to have to chop up vegetables. I want it all. I open the bag and I eat, right? I don't want to cook a dinner. I want a TV dinner. I don't want to wait for anything. And you take a look at the New York Times bestsellers list through the years. What sells? Shortcuts. The New York Times bestseller, 8 Minutes in the Morning. I think we have a copy of that book cover there, 8 Minutes in the Morning. And it says, if they have it up there, do we have that back there, Brother Scott? The book cover there by George Cruz. And it says, a simple way to shed up to 2 pounds a week, guaranteed. And then, I didn't notice on the top, secrets to eliminate emotional eating right there. 8 Minutes in the Morning, and this is the number one online weight loss specialist with more than 3 million clients, it says there. New York Times bestseller, 8 Minutes in the Morning. Why is that a bestseller? Because we think a shortcut, only 8 minutes and I can lose 2 pounds a week? Like, is that indefinitely? I mean, at some point I'm going to not weigh anything, I guess, if I do this long enough. But 8 minutes in the morning, that's all I need. You say, well, Pastor, how did you know that this book was for sale? I bought this book several years ago. I actually threw it away when we moved because I was not doing the 8 minutes in the morning. But I bought this. But you want to know what an 8 minute in the morning body looks like? Here it is right here. And this is actually 0 minutes in the morning. But I bought that book, 8 minutes in the morning. And if that's not enough, this same author, if we don't want to do that, he's offered us the 3 hour diet. And here we have lose up to, so before it was 2 pounds a week for 8 minutes in the morning. Now it's lose up to 10 pounds in just 2 weeks by eating every 3 hours. Well, that's it. Stop hunger. Stop depriving yourself. Start losing belly fat fast. Just eat every 3 hours. And people will buy, it's again, a New York Times bestseller, will buy that. Why? 8 minutes in the morning and I just eat whatever I want every 3 hours and I'm going to lose weight. And we'll buy that like crazy. Guess what? You want to know how you lose weight and you get in shape? You exercise and you eat right. You don't buy this book. And I'm not saying I don't even have this book. I didn't buy that one because 8 minutes didn't do anything for me, so I didn't buy the 3-hour diet. But that's a New York Times bestseller. What's the easy way for me to lose weight? What's the easy way for me to get in shape? Oh, I don't have to eat less? You're telling me to eat more? Okay, I like that book. I'll buy the 3-hour diet. I'll do that. And we don't want to wait for retirement. New York Times bestseller, the 4-hour work week. And here it is: escape the 9-to-5, live anywhere, and join the new rich. The number one New York Times bestseller. Why is that number one? Because all of us want a shortcut to success. You want to know who's enjoying the 4-hour work week? His name is Timothy Ferris. He's the only one enjoying a 4-hour work week. The guy that sold the book to all of us to buy it. I don't know anybody that's doing the 4-hour work week. And in case that was too much, man, I don't know if I can invest enough time to read this book so that I can save 36 hours of work a week for the rest of my life. In case that was too much, Timothy helped us out, and he came up with the 4-hour work week in 20 minutes. This is a summary over Tim Ferriss's best-selling book. And in case you didn't have 20 minutes to invest in your lifelong retirement plan, no joke, we did not doctor this, the 4-hour work week in 2 minutes. Do you have 2 minutes to devote to your retirement? If you give us just 2 minutes on $199, your Kindle purchase, you can only work 4 hours the rest of your life. Well, why are these things here? Because we don't like to wait. You know, what has been the general path, I understand there are exceptions to this, but the general path to retirement, you know what it has been? It has been to work diligently every day of your life, every week of your life, every month of your life, for decades of your life. Work hard, be diligent, save, work, and then at some point you enjoy. But we want a shortcut. I'm 20 years old, and I was in my 20s when I want the 8-minute body, or whatever that was, 8-minute in the morning, whatever that book was that I threw away when we moved down here. I want that. I want the 4-hour work week. If I read this book, somehow I'm only gonna have to work 4 hours a week for the rest of my life, and I'll retire rich, and I'll do all of those things. Sadly, I believe that we treat God and His working in our lives much the same way. When it comes to our spiritual lives, we don't like to wait. We hate it when we perceive a delay in how we think God should work everything out. That mindset is dangerous. It's a dangerous way for the child of God to live. I'm going to speak to you this morning on the dangers of delay. The dangers of delay. If you'll turn with me this morning to Exodus chapter number 32. It's going to be a little bit of a Bible study this morning. We're going to stay in Exodus, looking here with Moses and the children of Israel and learning from them. We're going to look at several passages. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you. And you can look near on somebody by you to take a look. We're going to stay here in Exodus. But is there something in your life this morning where it seems that God has delayed? Things haven't worked out the way that you thought they would, or he hasn't come through in the time frame that you thought he should. Providential delays in our lives can often be times of great growth, of great blessing, and of spiritual maturing in our lives. God often used obstacles and delays in the Bible to prepare his people. Let me say that again. God often used obstacles and delays in the Bible to prepare his people. But these can also be very dangerous times in our lives. You see, Satan will try to use seasons of delay in your life to discourage you. God wants to use them to develop you. I'm going to show you this in Exodus chapter number 32. We find our story here in Exodus 32, and this is the story of the golden calf. This is when Moses has gone up to the mount to get the law of God, and he has gone up getting the law of God, and while he's there, the children of Israel decide to make a new god. They make a molten calf. And Moses is there, and the craziest part, and this whole thing is a crazy story, but the craziest part of this story is verses 2 and 4. Would you look at Exodus 32, verse 2, it says, "And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Verse 4, And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said," look at what they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." That's a mind-boggling verse to me. We have the children of Israel that God has providentially protected. God has miraculously delivered. They're in Egypt facing bondage and persecution. The children of Israel are there. They cry out to God. God delivers them. They get here and they're waiting. And while they're in a season of delay, if you will, Moses is up on the mount. Now, it's not a delay to God, but to them it was. We're going to get to that in a minute. But while they're up on the mount, They're gone, and they say something's wrong here, and they take off their jewelry, they bring it to Aaron, they heat up all the gold, and they create an image, a golden image of a calf, and then they say, while they're standing there, the God that had done the 10 plagues in Egypt, the God that had opened up the Red Sea, they had just seen all of this in their life, and they literally said, do you see this cow that we just made out of our earrings, out of our jewelry, that one right there? That one that we just made today, that's the God that delivered us out of Egypt. How does that happen? How do you get to that place in your life? Well, I want to show you it happened because God and their leader didn't do things when they thought they should be done. Would you read chapter 32, beginning in verse number 1, aloud with me? Chapter 32, verse 1. Let's read it together this morning. Exodus 32, verse 1. Ready? Begin. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And by the way, it wasn't in my notes, but I just thought of this while I was reading it there. It says, as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of Egypt. By the way, you get your eyes on man and not on God. You forget about who it was that delivered you. You'll get in trouble there. They said, this man that brought us out of Egypt. Moses didn't bring him out of Egypt. God brought him out of Egypt. Keep your eyes on God and not on man. But that's just a little throw in as I was reading it there. The Lord gave me that thought, so I thought I'd share it with you. But what happened? How did they get here? They got here. You see it. I have it circled in my Bible. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down. By the way, again, this was not Moses, it was not a delay in Moses' time frame, and it was not a delay in God's time frame. But this was a delay to the people, what they thought God should be doing. And when Moses delayed to come down, they found themselves doing things they never thought that they would do. And it's dangerous for us in our lives when things take longer than we think they should take. I thought by now in my life, and you fill in the blank. I've been praying about this, and you fill in the blank. I thought for sure God would show himself strong in this area of my life, and you fill in the blank. I thought I'd be done facing this by now. And all of a sudden, when we start to think that God, his timing is not perfect and that his ways are not providential, and we start to wonder and doubt, and we start to believe that he's delaying in our lives, there are some dangers that come to the life of the Christian when we believe that God has delayed. I want us to see here some of the dangers of delay. I want you to see first what happens and what do we need to be on guard on. Guard for, because if we're not careful, we have a tendency to do some of the very same things that the children of Israel did here in this passage. One of the dangers of delay, when God doesn't come through in the way or on the time frame that we think he should, number one, we murmur. Would you look at verse number one again, where we just were? Chapter 32, what did it say? When Moses delayed to come down, the people gathered themselves and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, we wot not what has become of him. We don't know what happened to Moses. And they began to murmur, and they began to complain, and they began to question God in their lives and his timing. And they began to say, we don't know why God would allow this into our lives. Hey, we've got to make something happen. And they began to complain. By the way, this wasn't the first time that God had seemingly delayed in their lives. And you would have thought by now they would understand it. Hold your hand here. If you have a marker, put it there in Exodus 32. We're going to turn back to chapter 14. We're going to look at a few passages in Exodus 14, 15, 16, and 17. We won't read all of those chapters. Don't get scared. We'll just look at a few verses. Exodus chapter number 14. I want you to see this pattern of seeming delay and then deliverance. I want you to understand this is how God works in our lives as well. And be on guard for the dangers of beginning to murmur against God and against his plan and against his man and against his work in our lives. Exodus chapter number 14, beginning in verse number 11. Notice what happened here. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. What happened? This was before the Red Sea. This is, they come to the edge of the Red Sea. And all of a sudden, they're locked in. They can't go to the left. They can't go to the right. In front of them is a body of water that they cannot cross. And the most powerful army on the face of the earth is coming from behind them. Egypt, the Egyptian army, is pursuing them to bring them back into captivity. And it seems like God has delayed. God, it doesn't make sense. You delivered me out of Egypt, which is a picture of our salvation. Egypt, a picture of the world. If we know Christ as Savior, we've been delivered out of Egypt. And now we come to a Red Sea place in our lives. And we can't go to the left, the Bible tells us. We can't go to the right. We can't go forward. And behind us is the enemy. And we look and we say, and if we're not careful, when God delays, it seems like he's delaying, our first response is we murmur. We start to complain. And we complain to God and we complain to God's man. And we say, Moses, why did you bring us out here? You brought us out here because there wasn't a big enough cemetery in Egypt for all of us to be buried? Is that why you brought us out here, so we can all die out here in the wilderness of Egypt? And then they said to Moses, and we're going to see this on the next point, but I want you to take note of this. I think it was verse number 12 we just read. They said, didn't we tell you we wanted to stay in Egypt? Didn't we say that's where we wanted to be? And I don't have time to go there, but that's absolutely not what they had said. If you can jot it down in your notes, if you'd like to go back and look at it. But in Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, the Bible says that they cried to God, deliver us out of Egypt. And it was after God heard their cry that he called Moses out of the burning bush. God hears their cry. He says, I'm going to send you a deliverer. Moses gets called to do God's work. And now they're complaining to the one that God called because of their cry. And they're telling him, we never wanted to leave Egypt anyways. Before you get too hard on the Israelites, we do the same thing sometimes. God, deliver me. God, deliver us. And he saves our soul. And then we start to complain. It would have just been better if I would have just stayed in Egypt. It would have been better if I never gave my life to God. It would have just been better if I would have never accepted him and began to follow him. And they say, did you bring us out here to die? I want you to notice in verse number, God tells Moses in verse 16 to put his rod over the dry ground. And he says, I'm going to do all of that. In verse 21, Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now what happens? God delivers them, God delays, they murmur, God then delivers them again. The seas are divided. I want you to see it. We're building a foundation here. Verse number 31, follow along. Verse 31, this is us sometimes. I want us to learn from the Israelites. In verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. That's good, right? They saw God deliver them across the Red Sea, and now they say, if that's the God we serve, he can come through for us. We believe you, God. We're back in. Moses, we're back in. Moses, we're excited about church again. We're excited about serving God again. Moses, you can count on us. We're back in our spots. Moses, God is good. Verse number 1 of chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. They started singing a song. God triumphed. He killed the armies. He threw the horse and the rider into the sea. God is good. And now look, in the exact same chapter, God delays again. And God delays in verse number 23. They came to Marah. They could not drink of the waters, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. This is the same chapter they've been singing about the fact that they just came across the Red Sea. Verse 24, would you read verse 24 aloud with me? Ready? Begin. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? What? God can come through with the 10 plagues. And then when you murmur about the Red Sea, he can open up the Red Sea. He can overcome that strong army. And now you're worried because you're a little thirsty. And you're going to complain again in the same chapter. And yet, how often have I been just like them? God gives me life and health and strength, and meets my needs, saved my soul, forgave all of my sins. And yet when I'm faced with just a in comparison, a little trial, a little difficulty, a little uncertainty, a little fear. When I'm faced with that, if I'm not careful, I say, God, what are you doing here? God, this doesn't make sense. God, I prayed and I thought you would fix it. And God, I don't understand why it went that way. And God, I want it to be this way. And God, you're delaying. And if I'm not careful, I begin to complain just like the children of Israel complaining about the water. And then God gives them the water. And then we see in chapter 16, verse number 2, and the whole congregation, are you with me? 16:2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel, what did they do there, church? They murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And they said, would God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness. I want you to see that again. They started, because it's going to be our next danger of delay. I want you to understand it. They started believing that things were different than they really were back in Egypt. They murmured. Last place we'll turn here on this point, chapter 17. Verse number 2, chapter 17, verse number 2, God gives them manna, so they get delivered. They complain, if you will. They cry out to God in Egypt. God delivers them by a strong and mighty hand. They get to the Red Sea. They begin to complain and murmur against God and his man. God opens up the Red Sea. They get across. They sing the song. God, you're wonderful. You've triumphed gloriously. They get there. All of a sudden, they're a little thirsty. They begin to complain. God gives them water from the rock. Now they're a little hungry. God gives them manna. I want you to see now, all of their needs are now met. Really, there are no needs left to be met. Let's see what happens then. They're going to rejoice and sing some more, I think. Let's find out. Verse number 2, this is the water again. Verse number 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people there thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And they go on, and if you continue on, we won't turn there. But God then gives them water again. And all of their needs are met, and then they still find a reason to complain. God, you gave us manna, but we're tired of it. God, you provided every need, but we're tired of it. And I preached a message last year about that, talking about beside this manna. And that they said, you haven't done anything for us except for this miraculous daily provision. And we want some flesh. And isn't it amazing when if we're not careful, when things don't go the way we want, we start complaining, we start comparing. We start looking back. We start wishing we hadn't followed God to where we are now. The same God who delivered us out of Egypt, the same God who brought us across the Red Sea, the same God who gave us daily provision, isn't allowed to take a little bit longer than we would like for him to take in some area of our lives. He's supposed to work everything on our timetable. If he did, he wouldn't be God, we would. But we do the same thing. The danger of delay, number one, we murmur. Number two, the dangers of delay. Not only do we murmur, I want you to see here in Exodus chapter number 32. Turn back, if you will, to 32. We mingle. We mingle. What do I mean by that? Exodus chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, notice what it says here. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. The people gathered themselves. It's amazing when somebody gets upset with God or somebody gets disgruntled, how they look and find somebody else that they can then team up with, if you will. It's amazing in our lives when we get upset about something, when we get angry, when we feel offended about something that's happened in our lives, if we're not careful, we'll look for someone else that will kind of feed us, and we'll feed off of them, and we'll get ourselves worked up. And when that happens, we're going to see the third danger in a minute. Bad things are just on the horizon when we surround ourselves with people with that kind of a spirit. The Bible says the people gathered themselves unto Aaron. Now that, the people is, we're talking about millions of people here. This wasn't something that Aaron said. This wasn't something that came from the top down. This was something that came from the people. How did that happen? I believe that much like when they had the children of Israel and there were 10 evil spies and 2 good, 10 were bad, 2 were good, 10 faithless, 2 with faith, and very quickly the 10 had influenced the entire congregation to complain and say, God can't do it. I believe the same thing happened here. I believe there were a few leaders, there were a few influential people that said, wait a second, what's going on here? It's 30-some days. Now, we're only talking about a month. This is how long they've been without their leader, a month. And we're not talking about a month later they're starting to kind of complain. We're talking a month later they're worshiping a golden calf, saying that's the, they've completely changed religions. They didn't just kind of start missing church a little. They completely changed religions in a month because God didn't do what they wanted him to do in a month. But how does that happen? We begin to murmur and somebody started complaining. Hey, where's Moses? Have you seen Moses? Why is he gone so long? He probably left us. God's probably done with us. And they started talking. Did you know where Moses went? I don't know. You know, we should do something else. We gotta make something else happen. Can you believe he's gone this long? This doesn't make sense. Why would he go? And they started convincing each other. The Bible says the people gathered themselves together. They started one to another. I believe it began to spread. And it's amazing how bad news can spread like that, how gossip and an evil report can spread. And the Bible says the people gathered themselves together and they came to Aaron. Aaron was the interim pastor there. Aaron was the leader in charge. And they said, up, it's time to do something. We're done sitting here. We're done waiting on God. We're done waiting on God's man. It's time for us to make something happen. Up, Aaron, you're going to do what we want you to do. We're going to do something because we don't know what happened to Moses. And we could have a message about Aaron probably should have better leadership, but the people, what happened? The people mingled. If we're not careful, we will find others who are murmuring. When we don't understand how God is working in our lives, be careful about talking to others. Well, do you understand why they're doing that and why that happened to that person's life and why that? That's none of our business. Be careful about who we mingled with. It started small and it grew into probably, conservatively speaking, 1 million or 2 million people. That happened. Be very careful when you don't understand God's ways in your life, who you allow to influence you. Well, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you shouldn't have really given your life to God. Yeah, he really hasn't been faithful to you, has he? He really is taking too long on this one, isn't he? He really doesn't make sense on this one, does he? Be careful. When it seems that God is delaying in your life, that you don't mingle with the wrong folks, they murmured, they mingled. Number three, we've already read it a few times. What's the danger of delay? We manufacture. We manufacture. We come up with our own plan. We come up with our own solutions. We come up with our own ideas. We manufacture ideas about how good it was before we went with God. Remember how it was back in Egypt? We manufacture those ideas in our mind, and we manufacture the solution. Instead of waiting on God, we come up with what we think is the right fix. Notice what it said in verse number 6, chapter 32, Exodus 32, verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Isn't that like what you and I do when things aren't going the way we would like them to? I've got to figure this one out. God forgot about me here. I've got to fix this one. I've got to make it happen. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do this. And that's what they did. It seemed like God had delayed in their lives. And when it seemed like God was delaying, they decided it was time for them to take control of their lives, to take control away from God, to take control of their plans. I thought by now that this would have happened. I thought by now my career would have gone here. I thought by now God would have given us this in our family, or this would have happened in our marriage, or we would have had this prayer request answered here. I thought by now this would have happened at our church. It's time to take matters into our own hands. Oh, no, it's not. We're going to see it in a minute. But what happened? What happened to them? They manufactured. Oh, this must be the answer. I need to figure something out for God. I need to move. I need to get married. I need to get divorced. I need to do something because life isn't going the way that I wanted it to go. We start trying to figure it all out for God. And then lastly, what happens? What is the danger of delay? We need to guard ourselves because we are made of the same stuff the children of Israel are. So often our lives mirror and mimic the stories we read in the Old Testament about them. When God delivers us and it seems like he delays, be careful about murmuring. Be careful about mingling. Be careful about manufacturing. Number four, what's the fourth thing we do? And this is the dangerous one. We move quickly away from God. I want you to see it in verse number 7. Exodus chapter 32, beginning in verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down for thy people. It's always interesting to me as you read the Old Testament. Moses and God, when they talk about the children of Israel, I don't know if it's supposed to be humorous, but to me, I always find it kind of humorous. It's kind of like parents that are talking about their kids. And God here says to Moses, thy people. And then there's another time where Moses says to God, thy people. The people that you gave me, it's like I'm babysitting them. And God said, I want to kill these people. And Moses said, don't kill them. And then another time, Moses said, God, please kill them all. And God said, no, I don't want to kill them. And they say it here, and we see Moses. He says in verse number 7, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Notice this, verse number 8. They have turned aside, what's the word there, church? They have turned aside what? Quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. They moved quickly away from God. We're talking about Moses was gone for 39 days. It was somewhere along the range of about a month's time when they began to doubt and question and complain and murmur. And within a little more than a month's time, they've moved completely away from God. How in the world can that happen? It's when we don't handle the delays, the seeming delays of God in our lives correctly. When we don't, I've heard it said that when we pray, God says yes, no, or maybe. That's how he answers sometimes. And sometimes when we get the no or we get the maybe, we don't like that. And when it doesn't all happen when we want it to and the way that we want it to, then what happens if we're not careful? We'll begin to complain, and then we'll get around others that are doing the same, and then we'll think up our own plan. And before we know it, very quickly, we're living a life we never would have imagined. We're living in a way that we never would have fathomed. We're doing things in our life that we never... I was meeting with a dear lady, a sweet lady, that the Lord brought back, and she had been in church, and some things happened in her life, and she left church, and she told me she was gone from church for about 25 years. She knew the Lord, she was saved, and God brought her here on Easter, and she's been coming. She may be here this morning. And a sweet, godly lady, but she told me, and I appreciated her honesty. She didn't try to justify it or sugarcoat it. She just said, you know what? I just started living for myself, and I put God on the back burner. I got hurt by some things that had happened in my life and my family, some things that had happened there, and I decided, you know what? I'm just going to live for myself. And she said, I knew all along that I wasn't living right, and I knew all along that I should have gotten back to God, but I chose a life that now I look back, I wish I hadn't. But she said, I did those things. It's amazing when we don't handle the situations of life that don't go exactly how we thought they would, how quickly we can move away from God. God says to Moses, time to get down. You've got to go down the mountain. The people you brought out of Egypt, they've corrupted themselves. You're not going to believe this, Moses. They're worshiping another god. They're sacrificing to another god. You and I have only been together for 39 days, and they're already down there. They're already in a completely different religion. They're already worshiping a completely different god. And I don't have time to go there, but you'll see in this chapter, if you look in verse number 8, their worship changed. And be very careful about that. And they began to worship things other than God Almighty. Their music changed in verses 17 through 19. Their dress changed in verse number 25. The externals changed, but why did those externals change? They changed because the heart had changed. They allowed their heart to drift away from God because they didn't handle the delays and the disappointments of life correctly. So now I laid out that whole plan, and here's just the simple thought. Here's how we apply it to our lives. So these are the dangers. Okay, you told me what to watch out for in my life. You told me what to be on guard for when I don't understand God's workings. Okay. So then what should I do when there are the delays and disappointments of life? I want you to turn back where we started. This is the last place we're going to turn, Exodus 14. Exodus 14. I want you to see what God told them. See, God gave them the pattern the very first time they thought he had delayed. God gave them the formula the very first time they thought he had delayed. It's where we started. It's in Exodus chapter number 14. And God told them, here's what to do when you don't understand. Here's what to do when you're following me into the promised land. Again, Canaan, a picture of victorious Christian living. When you're following me in the path that I have for you, and something comes along that doesn't make sense, something comes along that's a little scary, something comes along that's a lot scary, something comes along that there seems to be no answer to. That's what the Red Sea experience was. When that happens, I want you to see what God told them in verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, here it is, here's the pattern. Fear ye not. Stand, what's that word, church? Stand what? Still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. That makes no sense. That's not humanly possible. You can't tell me I'm sitting here at the bank of the Red Sea. I've got a mountain range on both sides of me. I can't turn to my, I can't run. We've got this big, giant group of congregation of people, 1 million, 2 million, maybe 3 million people. We've got a lot of people. We can't just, you know, hide in a corner. We're a sitting duck. We're a sitting target. And God just said, the Egyptians you see today, you're going to see them no more forever. That makes no sense, humanly speaking. But here's what God told them when they started to murmur and to doubt and to wonder what God was doing in their lives the very first time. He gave them the pattern. He said, fear ye not. The opposite of fear is faith. In the Old Testament, the word is trust. In the New Testament, the word is faith. Same word, same thought. Fear ye not. What is he saying? When you don't understand, trust me. Stand still. It's the opposite of manufacturing, isn't it? That's the opposite of mingling, isn't it? That's the opposite of murmuring, isn't it? Murmuring, manufacturing, mingling, that all has to do with me going around. Did you hear? What do you think we should do? Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about a golden calf. I don't know. You got some earrings. We could throw those in. And there's a necklace. I'm thinking, what do you think? We got to do something. Moses, and they're walking all around the congregation, and God said, stand still. Fear ye not. Trust me when you don't understand. I can take care of your need. I can take care of it in a way that you could never imagine. I haven't forgotten about you. I'm the same God that brought you out of Egypt. I'm the same God that brought the 10 plagues. I'm the same God that gave you the fire by day and the cloud by day and the fire by night. I'm the same God that gave you my presence and I'm the same God that did all of those things. When you don't understand, when you come to the banks of the Red Sea, fear ye not, stand still, stop manufacturing, stop mingling, stop murmuring, stop moving away from me. And if you'll do those things, you'll see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. And by the way, that wasn't a one-time thing with God and his people. That was a pattern. As you trust me, I deliver. As you stay faithful to me, I show myself strong. As you cry out to me, I hear your cry. As you're in a place that you can't do anything, I come in and help. I show up with power when you have no power left. That is who I am, and that is what I do. And he had done it time and time and time again. And yet, when they came to another delay, they forgot about the 10 plagues, and they forgot about the Red Sea, and they forgot about the water from the rock, and they forgot about the manna, and they forgot about the water from the rock again, and they forgot about the quail, and they forgot about the flesh. And all they said was, God delayed again. He must be done with us. And so let's go do something on our own. Again, Satan will try to use the times of delay in your life to discourage you. God wants to use them to develop you. It's our choice in how we respond to them. Are we going to mingle, murmur, manufacture, move away from God? Or are we going to take the simple formula that God gave at the very first time of delay? When you don't understand, trust me. May I say in your life, if you're sitting in this room and you don't know Christ as Savior, you've never accepted him to be your personal Savior, don't delay any longer. You don't know Jesus Christ. You've never placed your faith. You've never come to him in faith and said, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you love me, and I'm accepting your free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. I'm accepting you as my Savior. If that's the case, if you'll do that today, if you'll stand still and see the salvation, if you'll fear ye not, if you'll trust God, put your faith in him, you'll see the salvation of the Lord today. And the Egyptians, the picture of sin in our lives, you'll see them again no more forever. God will forgive every sin in your life. If you are saved, has God delayed, it seems? Oh, he's never delayed. But sometimes we think he does, don't we? I thought it'd be fixed by now. I thought this would be different by now. I thought the answer would have come by now. You ever been waiting for an important message or package and you check the mail and you check the tracking number? And you get frustrated. The tracking number says it's coming today and then out for delivery, and then you check it again that night, it's back at the warehouse. And I needed that today. It's frustrating when an important delivery gets delayed. And we feel that same way sometimes in our lives. And much like the children of Israel, we need to be aware of the dangers of delay and learn to fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's conclude our service with a time of prayer together. In a moment, the piano begins to play. In just a moment, we'll open up the front of our auditorium. We call it the altar. We call this an invitation. It's simply an opportunity to invite those that have heard the message to act upon that which they've heard. There's nothing spooky or magical about what we're doing here. We're just inviting you, as you've heard God's word preached, would you respond to that this morning? I mentioned at the end, if there are any here this morning that do not know Christ as Savior, you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've never seen his salvation in your life. I'd like to pray with you this morning. You say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest, nobody's looking around. Between you and God, I've never trusted Christ as Savior. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I don't know if I were to die today that I'd go to heaven. Would you just slip your hand up? I'd like to pray with you. I don't know for sure if I were to die today that I'd go to heaven. You can slip it up for a moment and put it back down. How many are here this morning and you say, I didn't tell you anything about my life, but God gave that message and I needed, there was something in there today that, like the children of Israel, I was either already doing some of the things that they were doing or maybe on the way there, and I needed what God's word. There's something specific in my life. Would you pray with me, Pastor, that I would apply these scriptural truths to my life this week? I'd like to pray with you. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? God spoke to me, and pray with me, Pastor, that I would apply what I've heard to my life. Hands in every section. I appreciate your responsiveness. The piano begins to play. Let's stand together. The altar is open. If you'd like to pray there at your seat, you can come forward here and spend some time in prayer. The dangers of delay. Pray that God would give you the faith to trust him when you can't see, to stay faithful to him when you don't understand. If you have a special need in your life and you'd like somebody to pray with you, we can have a man pray with a man, a lady with a lady. You've been coming to our church. Maybe you have a question about the Bible, about what it means to be a church member, how that works. You've been saved but never baptized. Whatever the case may be, the altar is open. We have our pastors here at the front. We'd be honored to help you in any way that we can. Quietness of these moments, let's dedicate our hearts to trust God when we don't understand, trust him when we can't trace him, believe him when we can't see him. That's what faith is all about. Ask God to give you the strength to stay faithful through the seeming delays of life. And say, if you have those words back there for I need thee, oh I need thee, every hour I need thee, we'll try to put those on the screen. Brother Scott will sing that for a moment and then he'll lead us in it in a moment. Sing that for us, Brother Scott, and then we'll sing together.
Lord, I confess, bowing here I find my rest, and without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Let's understand our need for the Savior as we get ready to sing one more stanza of that. We can't do anything. When we don't understand, we need to come to him. Let's stop trying to figure it out. Let's remember that the children of Israel, these dangers of delay, and believe him. We can't see him. Where sin runs deep.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are, and where sing out on that chorus now. Lift up your voices. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.